Welcome each one to the service this morning. There's a number of people gone traveling still, so we're very glad for each of the visitors that are here. We're always glad for visitors, but when we're a little bit emptier, then we're doubly glad. So welcome to each one. Glad you're all here this morning. The title of my devotional this morning is Our Good Shepherd. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, the first 18 verses. Well-known and well-loved passage by all of us. This metaphor was also well understood by Jesus' audience. The theme of leaders as shepherds and people as sheep was common. And if we look back through history, there was a number of leaders who actually were shepherds. There was Moses, there was David, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all were shepherds. And so this was a common theme. It's always helpful to have context, and the context here is comes right after one of Jesus' miracles, where he healed a man who had been blind from his birth, and the Pharisees were not very happy about it because they had been trying to discredit Jesus, and this miracle was not helpful at all in that sense. The blind man in their mind, he just spoke very boldly, for this healing that had happened and for Jesus, and this was really distressing to them. And so that's the context, and following that now, this is what Jesus has to say. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto him, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So it starts off, Jesus just gives the parable with this familiar imagery of God as a shepherd. And in the Old Testament, we have a number of instances where God is referred to as a shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. In Jeremiah 31, verse 10, it says, Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it to the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. This is referring to God as a shepherd. And so when Jesus referred to himself as the shepherd, at first they didn't understand. They said, so Jesus had to go on and explain. Now, there were some, remember again the context here. This comes right after the Pharisees had been very antagonistic toward this man that was healed because of the way that the man was praising Jesus. And so as Jesus here was talking about the thief coming in and the hireling and so forth, This was also inflammatory language for the Pharisees, because there are verses in the Old Testament that refer to shepherds that are not very complimentary. Like in Ezekiel 34, there's verses with phrases like these: "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Jesus gave a clear distinction between a good shepherd and a terrible shepherd. And he was speaking in this form that his listeners knew well, but they were still having trouble figuring out what he was talking about. Who's the shepherd here? Where does everything fall into place? So he went on to explain it then. And that's what happens in verses 7 through 14, where Jesus is explaining himself that he is the shepherd. And doing that, he was directly aligning himself with God, with those verses in the Old Testament that said, I will be your shepherd. Now, the life of a shepherd wasn't an easy life. We have the example of the story of David, where part of his, I don't know if we should say daily routine, but he seems fairly blasé about it. The fact that he had to kill a lion, he had to kill a bear to protect his sheep. This is what a shepherd does. He protects his sheep, but it's dangerous. It's difficult. It's not something that you just embark on lightly. And Jesus was putting himself in that place. Jacob had this to say about his work with the flocks in Genesis 31, verse 40. "Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes." He was talking about his experience as a shepherd. So it wasn't an easy life. So Jesus calling himself a good shepherd, he's not putting himself in this easy position. This is some of the things that he said about himself had a direct correlation to some prophecies and things that were said about shepherds in the Old Testament. As he called himself a shepherd, we have Psalm 23, verse 1 that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then Jesus said here in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." As he referred to himself as a door, there's a couple of verses in Psalm 118. It says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." And then Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved." And then we have the verses that I read there in Ezekiel about the hireling, the ones who didn't care for the sheep. They were simply trying to enrich themselves. And Jesus said about them, "He that's an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep." And then there was even references to the lost sheep. And this comes maybe a little bit later then, but in Isaiah 53, this is referring to us. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." And in Peter, Peter says, "You were a sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So Jesus was directly placing himself in that position as a shepherd and savior. The thief, and as he was comparing the good shepherd and the hireling or the thief, think of the difference between the two. The thief only cares for himself, but the shepherd is selfless. The thief takes life, but the shepherd preserves life. The thief, for him, the sheep are simply something to use, but the shepherd gives himself for the sheep. And by calling himself the shepherd, Jesus was also calling out the Pharisees for their thieving, hireling-style leadership that they had just exhibited with this blind man. And he was calling the people to follow him and follow God. But he wasn't lifting himself up to this comfy position of luxurious self-righteousness that the Pharisees were exhibiting. He was taking on the difficult role of the true shepherd as a protector and savior. And he was giving himself to the daily care that is a prerequisite of knowing his sheep. And it says, My sheep, I know my sheep, and they know me. If we're his sheep, do we know Jesus the way that he knows us? He has put in the effort to know you. Am I putting in the effort to know him? Later on here in the chapter, in verses 25 through 30, it talks about the response of the true sheep. And there appears to be a difference between sheep, as there are a difference between shepherds. There are the sheep who actually seek to know their shepherd, and there are the sheep who don't. And the true sheep, it says here, they know God, they believe, they hear, and they follow. And then Jesus goes on and gives kind of a picture more of his actual mission and ministry as he gave himself, as he gave his life. And this is interesting to me, that as he talks of himself as the shepherd, he is also giving himself as the lamb. So again, he's not standing in this position that the Pharisees were, where they were standing with you know, authority to make sure everybody does what they say. He was giving himself. And so he was both the shepherd and the lamb. And I see in that he both understands our struggles and he conquers for us. And there's many verses in the New Testament that refer to Jesus as the lamb. In Galatians 1, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. In Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And I love that verse because it ties directly back into the Old Testament, some of the types that were given there. In Numbers 28, it says, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire for a sweet savor unto me. The same words then that we see here in Ephesians as it refers to Christ and his offering. And then in Hebrews, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Those verses that I read there in Numbers about the sweet savor, well, they go on to say, this is the offering by fire, made by fire, which thou shalt offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, for a continual burnt offering. And that's just beautiful to me, seeing the way that the Old Testament ties in with the New, and the way that the early Christians understood these types to mean Christ giving himself as a lamb without spot, our shepherd, our protector, our conqueror, and at the same time, our lamb, giving himself for our redemption and giving it willingly. And it says for a continual burnt offering. That means that Christ is there for us every day. And he's interceding with the Father for us every day. And as we struggle through life, as we endeavor to know our shepherd, and as we endeavor to attain, and as we endeavor to build this relationship, he's there for us continually. This sweet savor, this lamb without spot. And he goes on then to tell about his resurrection in verses 17 and 18. And he said, I have the power to take up my own life. But with that power, he still laid his life down. And he did it willingly for us. And he gives himself for us as a shepherd and as a sheep. There was a former Muslim who said this, I see Jesus as one who is full of empathy, ready to help us. And she said this before she fully believed in Christ. But studying the scriptures, She said, I see Jesus as one who is full of empathy, ready to help us, not one who's hurting anybody and making war zones, which is what her life was full of. And then she gave her life to Christ. And I love that. Full of empathy, ready to help us. Christ knows his sheep and they know him. He's our shepherd and our sacrifice, our conqueror and our friend, our example and our path, our door and our way.